You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Joe Saunders and producer Alex Greer. The latest film by Saunders and Greer, The Penny Black, is a riveting documentary that follows young Will after he is given a mysterious package by his neighbor and asked to hold on for it for a couple of weeks. As Will opens the package, he soon discovers that there is a $1 million stamp collection inside, and Will sets out to find the truth about its contents. In this one-on-one, we speak to Greer and Saunders about what they believe gives something its value, what was going through their minds as the mystery unfolded in front of them, and what they would have done in that same circumstance. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Well, guys, honestly, no, thank you for chatting with me. I'm really excited about this. I mean this when I say it. It's probably the most fun I've had watching a documentary in ages.
Like, wow, thank you.
You guys had me from the beginning, from the get-go, all the way through. This is a wild ride.
Yeah.
How did you come across this with Will? How did you did you know him before and this happened? Did you meet him? What happened there?
He's childhood friends with my college roommate, and he came out to visit my college roommate when I was in undergrad. And my roommate disappeared for the week because, like, exams or something like that. And so Will and I just kind of sat across from one another in this small dorm room, and I kept in touch with him. And he was at there was a brunch that I invited Joe to and Will to, and we were all sitting around the table just kind of sharing stories about what had happened over the past weekend. And Joe and I had done really innocuous and boring stuff, like watched a movie or played a video game. And Will casually, just offhandedly mentioned, yeah, my neighbor, who I think might be in the Russian mafia, asked me to watch after a $1 million stamp collection. So that was weird. And then Joe had the foresight. Joe's story radar just went up. His documentarian radar went up, and he was over there the next morning, I think, with a camera rolling interviews that made it into the movie. So,
yeah, I think that's where the film opens, and it says, we heard this story and the next day we were shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it happened that quickly. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot going on, and I had just finished, Alex and I had just finished our previous documentary. And so we were kind of looking for a new project, and this sounded so crazy. Like, I just needed to investigate further. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I fully believed it when he first said it. I figured, like, this guy's probably really exaggerating this, you know? So I thought the story was going to be either, you know, that this guy is making this up and, you know, let's see how far he goes, or this is real and what the hell is going on. So I knew it was going to be interesting either way.
Oh, sorry, I want to add, there's also urgency to get over there quickly too, because when we had the story told to us, Roman was supposed to come back. Like, he was we got told the story a week into the 2 weeks that this whole thing was supposed to take place. So Joe initially thought that he was just filming a short, and that it was going to be this, like, look at the weird things that happen in Los Angeles, 10 minute documentary maybe. And then, of course, Roman just kept not coming back, and the longer and longer he kept not coming back, the deeper and deeper Will sunk into paranoia, and the further and further Joe and I started to investigate stuff. And as you see with how this story unfolds, like, the deeper you go, the crazier everything gets.
Yeah, it's nuts. And how long did it take? Did it, I think they said something like 4 years? Like, it's supposed to be 2 weeks. It was.
Yeah, I mean, we shot this over a period of, I think it was longer than 4 years. It was like 5 years at least, right?
Joe and I keep, I think,
I'm just not even sure.
Forgetting.
Well, the thing is,
I think,
like,
we don't want to admit how long it took us to make this movie.
But also, it's, you know, we didn't shoot consistently, obviously. It was on and off. And there was like a year or two where we probably didn't shoot anything. And then, you know, once we shot everything, there was like a year or two when we were kind of editing, because we had other jobs. And so we're like, the putting this whole thing together, it was a long, long time. Less than a day.
Yeah, well, sure, for sure. And I mean, that's the thing, is like, this is a story. I think Will actually says it at one point, the story needs an ending, because it's just sort of going on. But it's just like you, and you're hoping for that ending to come, which of course it eventually does. But it's like this, like I can't even fathom this. Like the whole story, just hearing it, like you said, that it's like how you doubted that. Why wouldn't you? I mean, there are so many bizarre aspects to that one sentence summary. My neighbor who may be in the Russian mafia, who dropped off his $1 million stamp collection. It sounds like something out of a pulp novel. Like, yeah. It's so bizarre. So
we've started to discover this like Pavlovian reaction people get whenever we tell them what the story is about. Like I'll always tell somebody, oh, I'm working on a documentary, and they'll say, oh, what's it about? And when I say the log line, or when Joe says the log line, or when any single person says the log line, without fail, the first response is, wait, this is a documentary?
Yeah. 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 It's crazy. So what I'd love to hear from you both, what your impression of Will was or is, because it shifts throughout the film on several different occasions, and what you think of him.
I mean, I consider him a friend now. I mean, I don't think we're ever super close, but like Will's the kind of guy I feel that maybe only has one or two super close friends, and then the rest, you know, are kind of acquaintances that he hangs out with and, you know, has beers with and has fun with, but that's kind of the limit. Like, he's pretty guarded. And I think, I mean, he's such an interesting guy. Like, yeah. He has interesting hobbies. He's smart. His motivations for things are not typical motivations for things. He's just, you know, you meet guys like Will a couple times in your life, maybe. Like, I can name maybe one other person I know in my life that's that kind of bizarre and interesting. And usually you don't want to hang out with those people because their personality traits are like kind of tend to be more negative. But Will has a lot of charm. Like he's a really charming guy when he wants to be, and he's really polite and nice. And then, like, you know, suddenly he's not. And I, you know, he's just, yeah, he's a bit of a chameleon. And so it makes him really interesting to watch and fun to hang out with. But also kind of, you know, you want to keep your distance about some things.
Yeah, he genuinely is charming. And not only that, I mean, he has a wild backstory as well. Like, that adds a whole other level. This is a guy who not only has a terrible relationship with his father, had a terrible childhood, but I mean, his father was wrapped up in sketchy stuff as well. And the film sort of addresses that in an interesting way. There's several times where you guys sort of push him and you can where, you know, thing. So when the, well, I can say this, where one binder goes missing and you start asking sort of questions like, you know, is he involved? Is he not? And then the question of nature versus nurture didn't make it in the film. It is on your website. But I was just wondering where you two stand on that, because there is sort of this question of whether he's capable of doing some of this himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the most exciting storyline that Alex and I were tracking. It was the most interesting for me, anyway. I mean, there's the incredible plot points of Russian Mafia, $1 million stamp collection, like all this stuff. It's like, you know, from a movie, you know, like we were saying. But the really interesting kind of more emotional core to the story is his relationship with his father. And, you know, anybody that you say, you tell this story to, everyone says, well, just sell the stamps, sell them, you know? And that wasn't Will's first instinct. And it's because of his background that wasn't his first instinct. And it was because of his background that he was going on this journey, trying to do the right thing. But what is the right thing? That was the big question throughout. Like, what is the right thing? Whose stamps are these? Who does he give them to? So I don't know. It's it was just really, it's just a really interesting, you know, one of the things that we haven't put up on the website yet that kind of concludes the emotional story is he eventually read his dad's email. And oh. we were kind of hoping for that to be our ending of the movie. And he never wanted to do it, never wanted to do it. So we cut the movie and we had to show it to him, you know, just to keep him, you know, happy and make sure there wasn't any egregious things that he hated. And he loved it. And he watched a couple other times. We made some changes. And then after he watched it a couple of times, I was coming in town and I asked him just kind of for the hell of it. I was like, hey, would you read that email now? Cause he was finally able to see his life outside of his own head and see how other people's viewed him and see how he talks about his father and how ridiculous like it can sound to be like, oh, you know, I don't care about that, but clearly he does. And so I think he did a lot of introspection after watching the documentary, and he ended up reading his dad's email, and we filmed it, and it was at a very emotional moment for him. He had tears in his eyes. His voice was very wobbly, and it was a very well-written email. His dad is clearly smart as well. And he got done with, he read it really fast and he got done with it. And I asked him how it made him feel. And he said, you know, to be honest, I wish I felt something more. He's like, I still feel the exact same way. And I asked him if he'd read it again and slower. And he said, absolutely not. And we didn't feel that there was enough of an emotional change even after reading that email to include it in the documentary, to recut everything and put it in. So I think I'll probably put it up on the site if he gives the okay. It's kind of personal, but yeah, I mean, that was always the emotional through line for us, is that relationship with his father. And, you know, we tried to get an interview with his dad too, but Will was not interested in that.
Well, if he wasn't even interested in reading the email, I wouldn't be surprised at that. I mean, there's a lot of hurt there passed down for sure. I have to ask this. I was wondering what went through your mind when the binder goes missing? Because you sort of give a hint of, you know, will he or won't he, no pun intended, in the film. But what were you two thinking at that moment?
Probably very different thoughts. I'll let Alex go first.
Between you and me? I mean, I had conflicting thoughts. I mean, it's tough for me to answer the question because it would require me to like access the memory and the emotions that I had in that moment. And I just know since that moment and, you know, looking back through all the footage and working to craft this into a narrative, like that's maybe one of the best things that happened to us in this documentary, you know? So it's hard for me to be like, oh, I was really upset. And I may have been upset. I may have like had an initial like streak of panic, but it's been overshadowed by the fact that like, my God, what a narrative gift we were. It's like narrative mana from heaven that we were given. So excited.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I mean, that it was a very kind of thrilling discovery for the documentary. But I did start to question everything. I mean, there was that during that period of time, Alex and I were like, you know, cause we hadn't really done much research about his dad outside of what Will was telling us. We just took it at face value. But after that, we were like, is he even telling us the truth about his dad? Like, we've never actually seen any pictures or anything of Roman. He could be making that up. He could have stolen the stamps himself and like made up this and using the documentary as an alibi to like do something else with these stamps. And now he's lost these. Maybe he's going to try and blame it on us. Like we were going through all of these different scenarios. But you know, we stepped back and decided, well, let's just talk to him first and see what he says. And, you know, that's all documented. That moment we asked him about it is captured on camera.
Well, Alex, I think I just heard Joe confess that he took the binder. If I heard him say, I think I just heard that, but maybe.
And
maybe.
Frankly, if he did, then more power to you, Joe. It turned out for
him. Maybe it was Alex. Alex. Alex is awfully pleased.
I'll tell you what, if we had taken that binder, we wouldn't have, our budget would have been a lot higher. I'll say that. But that was the thing that we also suspected Will of saying, and he did say it, and we didn't keep it in the edit, I think because there wasn't a moment for a joke narratively. But after we talk about him and he kind of says maybe my girlfriend took it or, you know, I lost it somewhere. And then he kind of pauses for a second. He says, or you guys took it for some kind of a plot point. But he says it with like a smile, but we didn't use it.
It's crazy. Shifting gears a little more too, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the collection itself, because I mean, they're stamps. Like, let's just say, I know they're old stamps, but they're stamps. So I was wondering what you learned about the world of collecting and what you thought about things like where we put our value, because it doesn't have to be stamps. Like, it could be pop figurines or old, you know, old memorabilia. It's fascinating.
It's funny you identify that where we place our value is kind of arbitrary. The very, very first documentary I ever did, it was like a student film, when I was an undergrad, was on sneaker collectors. And there are sneakers that sell for tens, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars. And people line up for, you know, days out in like the freezing cold in New York street for like sneakers, you know, and they're sneakers. Like, it's dumb at the end of the day. And you know, these are postage stamps. Like, they're honestly, like, legitimately only worth the amount of postage that they carry. But like, it's funny with, you mentioned imbuing things with value and what we decide is special to us and what we decide is like important to us, because that's how stamps get their value, is you have a bunch of people that gather together and say like, no, this isn't worth 34 cents. Like, I value this a lot higher. And if you have enough people with this subjective belief that something is worth more, you can kind of create like an ad hoc objectivity wherein a stamp that should be worth 34 cents is now legitimately worth $1 million. And like, we were really happy with how that world and that sense of truth reflected in the narrative that we were telling, where we're in a world of story and a world of storytellers. You know, Will tells stories. Roman is clearly a storyteller. And you know, Joe and I are storytellers too. And like, we're all searching together to find this sense of truth. And you know, for the people that watch the movie, that really coalesces in our final scene, the truth that we agree to tell one another and the truth that we agree is real.
So, I mean, here's a question then with that. I love that, by the way. I think that's great. The truth that we agree on is really, really interesting. What is it? Why stamps? What is there anything that you learned about that why these little pieces of paper? Why is it that these things have coalesced that interest?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Alex's, you know, sneakerhead documentary and is that what they're called? Sneakerheads?
Yeah, sneakerheads. Yes. Yeah.
And you know, I collected baseball cards as a kid, and I, you know, you go back through those and I just did recently. I went back through all my old baseball cards and looked at these, you know, 3-inch by 2-inch pieces of paper and like, was like, okay, that one's valuable. That one's not, this one's valuable. That one's not. And I don't know. The stamps is just another one of those. It's just a bunch of people have an attachment to them. That's mainly sentimental. And they like these stamps because they're, you know, valued, or there's some rare ones and it's fun to collect them and they get the bug, and that just creates all this value. And there is something interesting about stamps in a movie like this, because it is a global thing. And it's, you know, everybody in the world uses stamps, and every country has their own stamps and they were, most countries were represented in this notebook. So it was, it, it gives it this kind of international mystique. And, you know, because also our antagonist slash, you know, mystery man is Russian, it does kind of tie a bunch of stuff in. You couldn't really, it wouldn't be the same if it was baseball cards or sneakers.
Right.
Because it's stamps, it just feels like there's something that feels a little bit, you know, nicer and more mysterious about it.
I want to come back at it with two answers, actually. One that's a little more pragmatic and maybe like anecdotal, and another that's just totally up my own ass for the sake of, you know, exploring my thoughts. From a pragmatic standpoint, like, you know, we talked to a bunch of different stamp collectors. We only see one in the movie, but, you know, we talked to a lot more that didn't make it in the cut. And for them, it definitely seems like a hobby that was passed down. Like a lot of them, like their dads collected stamps. And so they collected stamps, or like the one guy you've seen in the movie Stamp Show, Steve, his, I forget the story exactly, but there was something about like his, he had like some sibling rivalry with stamps. I think his dad may have collected stamps, and like some of his brothers did or did not collect stamps. And like, that was like a source of contention between them. And so, yeah, it's, trust me, these people are a world. So like pragmatically, it's, you know, it's a hobby that I think is shared. And I think that connects us to like different generations. That's the pragmatic answer. The answer where I kind of want to get on my own ass for a second is stamps are, they're a means of delivering communication, right? Stamps are what go on a letter in order to allow you to talk with people. So they're kind of like, the ribbon or the bow on the gift of communication. And so I think maybe there's a desire to fetishize those bows just because it makes us feel like more strongly connected with the people that we're talking with. It's an additional way to add like a flair to who you are and how you relate to the world.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. You know, I hadn't even thought of this idea of relating the world and connect, like, global thing. You're right. It hasn't, this film has an international feel. It really does have a flair for, like, you know, you feel like it could be Ocean's 14 or whatever it is, where there's like, we're not knocking over casinos. We're taking these stamps now. And that's what it is. But
this is like the Ocean's 14 when nobody in the Ocean crew had any money to ask me and act a heist.
That's right.
Yeah. The Bat News Bears version of Ocean's.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, guys, as we start to wrap up here, and you can give me the truth that you wish, however you want to answer this, but I thought I would ask, what would you guys do? You're in Will's shoes. A strange Russian man drops a mysterious package off at your door, says, hold it for 2 weeks, and months go by. What would you do? There's no wrong answer.
You are the first person to ask us this. Joe, is this the first time? I feel like this is the first time I've had to think about this question.
Yeah, I was just thinking that same thing. I've never really, I've been so interested in what Will's going to do with them. I've never really stopped to think about it. I don't know. I don't think I would have taken the bag. I would not have probably had more than a sentence. I would have had not more than a like friendly nod to Roman. As you know, I have a certain amount of social anxiety. So like I see someone smoking outside where I'm smoking, I'm standing 10 feet away from them, just like, give them space. They might want space. You know, I don't think, and if they're like, hey, do you mind holding onto this bag? I think I would have just said, yeah. Let me go upstairs real quick. I'll be right back. And I just never would have come back.
And then you never show up again.
Yeah. And then I probably would have moved just to avoid that run in.
You wouldn't have even said no. You would have just said, wait, I got to get something.
Yeah. And then that would be too difficult. I'd just be like, yeah, of course. I'll be right back. I just need to put this away. Just,
4 hours later, he's still standing outside your house.
Right.
God, I think mine would be so boring. I think I would take them because I would be too embarrassed to say no to doing a favor for a neighbor, especially one that seemed innocuous at the beginning. And then if I had to move, I think I would just leave them with another neighbor. And this is why nobody's made a documentary about me stamps is because my answer sucks.
That's awesome. And you're playing hot potato with them. You're like,
yeah, make them someone else's problem. Definitely.
Well, I have no idea what I would do. So it's not like it's not, I can't even answer that question myself.
Yeah. Wait, no. I want to put you on the hot seat. Yeah. What would you do?
I have no idea. I've been asking myself that the whole time since I watched it. I would probably take it. And knowing me, I just shove it in my basement and it would stay there forever. And I certainly wouldn't have looked for them. I wouldn't have thought, I'd be like, well, if they want their stamps, they can come get them.
Yep.
But man,
and this is why nobody makes documentaries about us three.
It's true. what are the release plans for the film?
It's out on every platform that you can buy or rent a movie from. So iTunes, Apple TV, Google Play, Fandango Now, Vudu, Amazon, and Xbox. And then, you know, whatever other ones. If you go to the pennyblackmovie.com, we have a tab called Watch where you can get it anywhere. And then hopefully more places after that.
But it is out now, though. The release date isn't coming. It's already available.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, watch it now. Watch it now. Please rate and review if you watch. Give us all the stars. We appreciate those.
It's a fabulous film. Honestly, it is wild. It is. True crime dramas and documentaries are hot right now. They have been for some time. This is different than so many of the other ones I've ever seen. It's literally sort of unfurling in front of you in almost real time. It's bizarre. So I guys, you did a great job. I wish you the best with it. And thank you so, so much for chatting with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Very thoughtful questions. We appreciate them.
Thank you. All right.